This audio presentation is from New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message is a special testimony from one of our members. This special Sunday message was delivered on September 5th, 2021.
But hey, you probably noticed it. You don't have a bulletin, right, this morning. You're like, what am I supposed to write on? Well, we have a special treat for you this morning. This is like the first time we were doing this, and we always wanted to do this. But I could never get you to write your story down so that, you know, when the appropriate time is, I can say, hey, I need you to share your story. Well, the only obedient one who was able to do this was Cammie. So I asked her this morning if she could come and share her story. So would you welcome Cammie this morning? Yeah, she looks at peace. She's very calm.
I don't know. You might hear the shaky voice.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. Gosh, you guys look a lot bigger when you're standing up here versus they're looking this way. So thank you. Can you hear me okay? Okay, thank you. So I may have to read all this. I'm going to do my best. But as I started to think about my testimony and what I was going to write, I realized how difficult that this really was. When you look back on your life, you see God moments everywhere. You see where you were controlled by the enemy, and you also see where God delivered you from those as well. So it's pretty incredible, really, when you start to think about your past and actually write it down. So I encourage everybody, if you haven't yet, write your testimony down, because it really is, it's an amazing experience to do so. But anyhow, I think I'll start with a little background of where I come from. I grew up in a small town in Washington State. My entire family still currently resides there. They grew up in a very close-knit, together family. I grew up knowing to pray, but not really knowing why or to who or for what, actually, that I was praying. I knew there was a God, but it was like, this is a quote from Lucy, like I knew there was, like the trees are made of wood. It just is, and there's nothing more to it or nothing I needed to do otherwise than just know that. It wasn't until I was in college that I met a wonderful group of friends, and they actually introduced me to Jesus. I fell in love, started studying, praising, praying, and living the life that I felt was truly Jesus-filled. After college, you know, we all go our separate ways. I went back to my hometown. They dispersed as well. And I really found that I didn't have that accountability, I didn't have those friends around me anymore that were constantly reminding me, I slowly drifted away. It was during this wandering period that I met my husband, had our two very amazing children, and ended up moving here to the Big Island. I moved here October of 2016, and by November 11th, I was starting my new job as a server at Jackie Ray's in Hilo. So this is kind of where things really took a big, dramatic, and noticeable turn for me. This restaurant became my home. I met my new friends. I started working my way up in the company. I went from day server to night server, to bartender, to management, back down to server, head server, you name it. If it was in the front of the house, I pretty much did it. I spent all of my energy in that place. I would show up early, and I would leave late. I most often was grabbing a drink or two after work with my friends, and would drive home, throw some gum in my mouth, and really hope that my mother-in-law didn't recognize or call me out for not coming straight home to my kids. I started struggling and spiraling down so uncontrollably and didn't even recognize or notice it. It started out really slow. I thought everything was good, all was well, kids were fine, I was making good money, my husband was doing his thing, working on the other side of the island, we were good, and everything was just peachy, until it wasn't. Things started getting really bad in my marriage, or maybe I should say I started to notice how bad it really had become. Of course, there's no blame to place anywhere, it takes two, but at the time I couldn't see that. I, of course, was placing blame everywhere except for myself. Looking back, I believe that I had been completely blinded by the enemy. When things started going bad in my marriage, I was finding more and more excuses not to go home. When I did go home, it was not a feel-good situation. It was ugly. There was a lot of abuse going on, not physical, but emotional, verbal. A lot of it was being thrown at me and, of course, the kids. I was trying to find ways that my kids wouldn't be hurt, so I would put them to bed early, or I would make up excuses. I was doing all different kinds of things to kind of, you know, deflect energy elsewhere, knowing that I could handle it, I could take the brunt of it, and I could really explain that to my kids later. I was also becoming someone I was never meant to be, and I was doing that in order to keep up with the demands of who I was being manipulated into believing that I was. I wasn't quick to respond as far as verbal things coming at me, so I would shut down often before I could even stand up for myself or try to say anything to make things better. In this mess of a marriage, I lost myself. I was defeated, I was beat down, and really at this point, I thought I was at the lowest of lows. Then came the day that I asked for a divorce over a phone call because I was too scared of my ex, I was too coward, and I was too broken to actually say it to his face. After I got off the phone, I grabbed a couple of items, as well as my children, and told them we were going to stay the night at a friend's house, like a sleepover, right? However, I never went back home. When I thought I was at the lowest of all places before, well, I hadn't even come close to being at my lowest point. Divorce is hard, to say the least. If anybody's been through it, you know. But it came with a lot of scary moments. Phone calls to the police, fear of my ex-husband being suicidal when he had my kids, being stalked at work, as well as my new home, anxiety, depression, a lot of anger and harsh words, and of course, a ton of guilt. So what did I do? I turned to drinking. I worked at a restaurant, right? They had trained me to be a bartender, so it became really easy to actually drink at work. I wasn't a drunk at work, but, you know, I would sneak a little here or there. I would make blended beverages and have a little extra of the accidental amount that I made that was too much for the cup that I was serving it in. You get the point, though. It wasn't, that's not what you do. It's not good. And then after that, I would come home and I would start drinking. I would pour my shot of whiskey, my two shots, who knows, it was probably a lot more than two shots even. And I would justify it. I would, you know, I just needed to relax. I needed to take the edge off so I could be a mom and take care of the kids or whatever. I had all different kinds of excuses. I was the queen of excuses. I would also eat just some Cheetos or brownies while I was drinking my whiskey as I was making dinner for the kids. Then we'd sit down, we'd have dinner, right? And then I would have just enough time to kind of throw some shame or anger at the kids for not listening to me right away as I was trying to get them to go to bed. This whole time, you know, outwardly and what I was believing about myself and what I was saying out loud and what I was doing out loud was really just kind of acting like I was an A-plus parent, that I had it all together, that my, you know, ex-husband, he was the mess up, not me, right? It was still so easy to be placing blame elsewhere. But man, I was full under, you know, under control of the enemy. But you know what? God is greater. He is bigger. He is better. He's so full of love and mercy and forgiveness. And thankfully, he had a greater plan for me. Something sparked in me. A little voice started speaking to me and telling me I was made for more, that my kids deserved a better mom. That was probably the biggest voice that I heard. And this is when I started noticing my friend on Facebook, Sonia, who ironically is the one who trained me to bartend at the restaurant. She was living this new healthy lifestyle. She had so much energy all the time and was just always there for her kids and just really living the life that I knew I wanted for my family. So I reached out to her to see what she was doing. It was that quick conversation that I had with her and her husband at Starbucks that turned everything around. I became a health coach, I kicked drinking to the curb, and I started living healthy, a healthy lifestyle. Because I was committed to make this change, I started doing a lot of self-healing. I was going to therapy, I started reading all the books that you could possibly think to read for self-help, podcasts, I was getting in touch with who I was actually meant to be. But really the best decision that I could have made was when I showed up at church one Sunday, here in this church, and I haven't left since. It was kind of a funny story how it happened, actually. See, I'd been here a couple times during my marriage, hoping that this would be the ticket to save it, knowing that if I could just get him to come and to know Jesus, that we would be whole again. So I knew New Hope was here. I had loved Pastor Scott and his messages and everything that he had done for those couple times that we'd been here. But anyways, I was listening to the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn in my car, doing my errands, which always consisted of going to the dump in Kale, as well as the watering station that's just right over here. A thought came to me as I was turning into the dump. I literally said it out loud. Okay, if I see Pastor Scott at the dump, that will be my indication that I should go back to church. Guess what? I didn't see him at the dump. But you know who parked next to me at the watering station? Pastor Scott. Funny, right? Yeah, God has an amazing sense of humor. And he reminded me that even though most often our prayers take years to be answered, or maybe sometimes not at all, sometimes he knows that he needs to answer those prayers immediately. And this was one of those times. He knew that Pastor Scott had to be there or I may never come back. What I found that is the Holy Spirit is alive and well here. He has used all of you to bring me back to Jesus. I was so broken and quite frankly very scared when I showed up, but I knew deep down that I needed to find a family that supported me even when I wasn't ready to share the chaos of what I was going through. This was the last piece of the puzzle that I had been missing all along. Then at the end of 2020, Pastor Scott did a sermon on our New Year's resolutions and what our goals would be. That's when, at the beginning of the message, Scott actually jumped up on stage for a quick 5 minutes maybe and said that his New Year's resolution the year before was to read through his Bible daily and to get through it in a year. That small bit inspired me. It inspired me to go further, to dig deeper. I think since then, I've only missed a handful of days of reading. So I know that, yeah, amen, right? I have committed, thank you. I have committed my life fully to Jesus here. I have found my family and I have found my home. God has faithfully restored me and brought me right back on track to life with him as the center. I have seen mountains turn into molehills. I've heard the whisper back when I've prayed over my children that Lincoln and Lucy are gonna be okay. And I've seen blatant and obvious signs that would, if I were any closer, they'd smack me in the face, right? I've learned what it means to seek God only to realize that he has been seeking me the entire time. He truly has saved me from a very dark place. And you know what's even greater than Jesus saving me? Is he's saving my children as well. And I see now that he's actually working on my ex-husband too. A man who wouldn't be caught in a church only a couple years prior now shows up to this church on men's ministry with my son on every other Saturday, the second and fourth Saturday with you folks. You know why? It's because God put it on Pastor Scott's heart to ask me if Lincoln can come to men's ministry. So Ryan was so skeptical. He didn't want to come necessarily, but he wasn't really trusting what was going on, didn't really know what was going on and wouldn't, didn't really want to take my word for it, right? So that it was a safe thing for Lincoln. So I invited him to go and be with Lincoln, and he did, and he's come almost every time since that. God is so good. I also want to encourage you that if you see somebody, say something, right? It's just one more reason why we need to trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Not being afraid to maybe stump out of your comfort zone, not being afraid to show your love to others, and not being afraid to invite and say, hey, come check it out, come join us, because God will use it for his purpose, for his good, for his will, always. So I want to conclude this by saying thank you so much for welcoming me into your family. Thank you for doing God's great work, and thank you, most importantly, Jesus, for pulling me out of my darkness, and today out of my comfort zone, way out of my comfort zone, and putting me right here in front of you all so that I can share my story and hopefully inspire and encourage you to do the same. Thank you.
Yes. What a wonderful testimony of a life that God got a hold of and God changed. And I know you all have your stories, and I ask you, write it down so that we can have it on file, because Man, how many of you would like to hear more of these? I mean, don't we all? It's so inspiring because we see it happens to the other people, but it's actually happening in our very own lives. And I got to tell you that Ryan has been coming to our men's ministry, and he adds a lot to our men's. He joins in the conversations, and he adds so much to our family. But thank you, Lincoln, for inviting your dad. I mean, to join us. That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool that you know, he invited his dad, and his dad came. I think he missed like once out of the last time that Lincoln invited him throughout these times. But the Bible tells us, you know, in 1 Peter, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense or an explanation to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence. So if somebody asks you, why do you have hope? Why do you go to church? Are you ready with an answer with gentleness and reverence? In Philippians 1:27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. So we are called to do this. Sometimes we're even called to suffer. And when people see that we suffer well, they will say, oh, I want some of that. They can do this thing well. And one last scripture I want to share from Luke. There was this guy who was tormented with demons. And he was tormented and tormented. In Luke 8:38, but the man from whom the demons had gone out, see, Jesus cast out the demons from this man into a herd of pigs, and they ran down the embankment, and they all drowned. And this man was now, they were like afraid of him. He would be breaking chains and everything. And now he was healed. The demons was gone. And he was begging Jesus that he might accompany him. But Jesus sent him away. He said this, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. He got to go back to his village, share his testimony of what Jesus did for him. See, sharing your testimony is your story. So people cannot tell you that's not right, because it's your story. It is right. So you go and share your story so others would be encouraged and say, I want that. I need that, God. Amen. Thank you so much, Cammie. That was just so awesome. Yeah. The reason I asked her to share is one day I was looking at my Facebook page and I saw her sharing her story on Facebook, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. The church needs to hear of the amazing transformation that happened in her life, so that when we hear it, we're like, wow, there is hope for me. Amen. Hey, you guys ready for communion? You guys got your communion cups? Anybody missing any? If you're not sure or if you don't want to, don't worry about it. But if you want to join us in taking communion is remembering what Jesus did for us. It's like How many of you have your cell phone and you guys take pictures? You guys take pictures and pictures and pictures. You know, my cell phone got like thousands of pictures of my granddaughter because my daughter sends them to me. And I don't know where to put them, so they all stay in my cell phone. But every time I want to remember or look or a moment that we had, I can go back and look at the picture. But, well, back when Jesus was living, they didn't have an iPhone to take a selfie with Jesus and, you know, his 12 disciples. Like, hey, let's capture this Last Supper here. You know, they didn't have that. So Jesus, on the night that he was about to be betrayed, he was about to go to the cross and die, he took some bread and some wine. And you could imagine, back then, they didn't have like these. They had like a big flat piece of unleavened bread. And he took that bread and he broke it. So I always like to say, get your wafer and break it, because it's a sign of Jesus' body that was broken, shredded, hanging on a cross. This is my body, which is broken for you. So he gave us this thing, that this bread, and he said, take this. And every time you take it, it was like painting a picture for us of what was to happen and what happened. So he said, take of the bread, and every time you do this, remember me. So take of the bread. Then after he took of the bread, then he took of the cup. And he said, you know, this is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins, the blood of the new covenant, so you may take up the cup. And that's the picture that Jesus painted for us. He said, every time you do this, remember me. I mean, granted, we do this once a month, but if you have your Bible, you can always turn to 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, and you can do this at home. You can paint this picture for your children or somebody who cannot make it to church. And you don't need special bread. You don't need grape juice. You can use a cookie. That'd be good. And milk. And do this to remember what Jesus did for every one of us when he hung on that cross and he bled for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the picture you painted with your words about the Lord's Supper, about communion, about the covenant you made with us, about your suffering, your broken body, your blood, all done so that we can have life. We can have an abundant life. We can have a fulfilled life, a life in heaven with you because of what you have done. So thank you so much that we this morning get to take communion just to remember you, to honor you. We love you and we thank you so much for what you did for each and every one of us on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, would you stand and join us as we sing? Yeah. And if you need prayer, you know, just let us know. We'd be happy to pray with you and to pray for you. Take it away, Walt.
Go out with a bang, gang. Yes.
Amen. I think we took a vote, and I think we wanted Pastor Aaron to do trivia every week because it comes with a prize. Oh, he just raised the bar for the rest of us. Now we got to think of what can I give away? Scott, you better go fishing this week. I need fish to give away. All right. God bless you all. Stay safe out there and have a great week. If you need prayers, let us know. You can find our number on our website. You can text me prayer requests anytime. But stay safe. God bless you all. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a special Sunday message of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keauhou, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.